God from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up and tested Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" He replied. "How do you read it?" he answered. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, he traveled, come where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out two denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. The word of God, the people of God, thanks be to God.
Well, we're going to talk about caring well for people and why it's sometimes hard to care well for people. I don't know if that's been your experience. That has been somewhat my experience. I think how I care for people has kind of evolved and changed, and I've kind of learned some hard lessons in life, and so I feel like I keep learning more and more what it means to care well. Forgot to give those to you. There you go. You're welcome. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, before we talk about that, and really as a part of that, we're going to also talk about my fishing trip, right? And so I just got a few pictures to show of the guys. This is our crew. We were on a houseboat. That is Luke catching just a giant pike fish. Look at that monster. They are monstrous fish. Like, you, when you catch those fish, you believe in dinosaurs. You're like, yes, there were dinosaurs, because it's giant fish. Next slide. That's me with my biggest pike, and so that was good. Those are our navigators. Go back. Where'd it go? There's our navigators. We're on this houseboat. They're getting us. Steve Wood had it all mapped out, had it on his GPS. We were going 8 hours down the lake to a spot. Here's some other big fish. Look at the eyes on that walleye, right? Like, that thing's staring at you when it comes up, but that's because they're kind of deep water fish sometimes. But AR went with us, and he's in Branson, and a friend of Steve Woods, and he successfully just caught like the biggest fish the whole trip. Did a great job. Who's that guy? There's Gary. Is Gary even here this morning? There's Gary. Okay, good. I'm glad I didn't put some of those other pictures in then, since you're here. So, because I wanted to, but I thought, he might not like that. He'll like this one, though. This is Gary getting excited about the giant smallmouth bass he caught, which was nice. Is that the end of my slides? That's the end of my slides. And so we had a great trip. It was the. I'm going to tell you, the fishing was hard. I think we all expected to catch 100 fish a day, and I caught about, you know, 6 fish a day, and so it was hard fishing. And something, we just got there in a particular season when they just kind of shut off, and they were still biting, and we still caught fish, but just maybe not as many as we were hoping to. And we did a lot of traveling. It was 20 hours in the car there and back, and then it was about 7 to 9 hours on the boat getting to where we did. So we did about 30 hours of traveling on the front end, 30 hours of traveling on the back end, which was almost probably more than the amount of time we actually fished, if you do the math. And so at one point, I don't know if it was day 2 or day 3, I was starting to get kind of whiny. I know my wife doesn't, I'm not a whiny type of person, am I? I was whining about the fish, about my expectation of, God, I thought we were going to be ripping them out of here. And Steve Dreyer, Steve's here today, and he was back there, and he goes, well, he goes, it's good to catch fish, but he goes, that's not what I'm, just what I'm here for, which left me pondering, well, what are you here for? Because I thought we were here to catch fish. And Steve gently reminded me it's about the fellowship. Right? It's about the fellowship of us being together. And I would say that we did have great fellowship. We had a great crew of guys that went. We got along very well. I would say, as we're beginning this conversation about caring well for others, I would say we cared well for one another. And everybody kind of performed different duties. I don't know if Gary's like this at home, but Gary loved to do dishes when he was on the trip. I don't know if Karen, is Karen here? Does she, she's not here? Okay. Pass along to Karen, to your mom, Krenda, that he'd love to do dishes on the trip. And Luke cooked for us almost every day. And Steve did all the preparing and planning. And everybody in different ways cared about one another. That's why it was a very meaningful, good trip for us. Now, so the other thing that I kind of want to lift up as we get going into this conversation is that it is Grandparents Day. So I want to recognize all of our grandparents. You don't need to stand up. You wave a hand if you're a grandparent here today and you've got grandkids. Yeah, that's a fair amount of this group today that has grandchildren. And so this does happen to be Grandparents Day. And we, as we looked at the calendar and we thought about kids ministry kickoff, we wanted that. We were like, yeah, let's do that on Grandparents Day. That makes a lot of sense. Here's why it makes a lot of sense for us. Because most of the children in our children's ministry are brought by grandparents and great-grandparents. That's who we are, and that's good. That's nothing to be ashamed of. I know we've tried to gear up a lot of things with kids ministry. We would love to see younger families participate in the life of our church. What I can tell you is that right now, we have some of that. We have some younger families. We primarily have grandparents and great-grandparents who are bringing their kids. Why are you bringing your grandkids and your great-grandkids? Because you care about them, because you love them, because you believe Christian education and the spiritual life of the community is important to them. And I know that you all are in some interesting scenarios, maybe with your kids who don't come, who aren't here, and who maybe don't go anywhere. But that's kind of the season that we're in a lot of ways, not just our church, but many churches. We're not alone in this. We're not alone in this. This is kind of epidemic. It's what's happening. And so I want to continue, you grandparents and great-grandparents who are trying to seek this out, I want to encourage you and tell you thank you for pursuing this with your children, your grandchildren. And don't, you know, don't lose hope about this type of scenario, but know that you're investing something into your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. It's a good and beautiful thing. We don't know what the Lord's doing right now in the life of our nation and in many ways. And so I just continue to persist in this way as best as you are able. So thank you for caring about them and for bringing them here. Now today, once again, you know, we've talked about this care aspect. Sometimes it's hard to care. Yeah? Yeah. It gets hard to care. It becomes challenging. And I'm sure there have been many times in my life where I've just thought to myself, I just don't care anymore. I just don't care. Like, do whatever you want to do. I don't care. And also, if you live long enough, and as I look around the room, congratulations, most people here have, we've lived long enough, right? We have lived a good long time. You live a good long time, you're going to help somebody, you're going to care about somebody, it's going to come back to bite you. Yeah? It's going to come back to bite you, and it's going to get you. And so I've got a story about that real quick. I know some of you have heard this story. I've told this story probably before. I was at Weston United Methodist Church, my very first church. I was standing outside. It was during the week. A gentleman walked up to me, had a backpack on, and he was kind of a homeless gentleman. And he gave me, hey, pastor, nice to meet you. He gave me this kind of long deal about how he had been to other churches and talked to other Christians, and how whenever he'd ask for help, people cast him away and said he was lazy and he needed to get a job, and just were very kind of mean to him. And I felt bad for this guy. I felt kind of sorry for him. I'm like, well, I'm sorry to hear that. Like, that's not what I want to do. And he goes, well, I'm just trying to get from point A to point B, and if there's anything you can do to help. And so I opened my wallet, and wouldn't you know it, the only bill I happened to have that day was a 20, right? It's not what I wanted to give him. But in that moment, I felt like I had to do something, gave him the 20. I said, well, here you go, sir. I said, I hope this helps on your journey. And he goes, well, thank you so much. And he goes on his way. And so I feel good. I've done this good deed. I've helped this guy in this way. And then about a week later, I see the sheriff driving by. I'm walking in the church. I wave at the sheriff. The sheriff gets a funny grin, waves at me, and parks his car in front of the church. And I'm like, oh, I guess we're going to talk about something. So he gets out. He walks out to me. Pastor, how are you this morning? Sheriff, I'm doing well. That's how you greet one another in small towns. What's your role, pastor, sheriff? And he says, well, pastor, it's kind of interesting. There was a gentleman that came through town about a week ago, probably homeless, probably passing through. This gentleman, it turns out as he was coming through town, somebody gave him 20 bucks. He took that 20 bucks. He went up to the local bar. He bellied up to the bar. He had as much cheap beer as he could drink. He had some fried food, and then he threw up everywhere. And the bar owner had to call an ambulance, come and get him, took him to the hospital. The hospital was nice enough to clean him up, give him some clothes, give him a night at the hospital on your local taxpayer's dime, and then send him out having showered, gotten clean clothes, done all this. He goes, now, just based upon where he told me he was, I'm just trying to put this together. He goes, would that person who had given this man 20 bucks, would that happen to have been you, Pastor? I looked at him and I said, well, yes. Yeah, I think it was. I think I remember doing that. He goes, okay. He goes, well, good to know. He goes, I guess we all learned something, didn't we? I said, yes, Sheriff, I think I learned something. Thank you. Thank you for helping me with that, right? And so that was a time where I was trying to do this. I thought it was a really good thing. And then it kind of came back to bite me in a way that was surprising to me. So these are the challenges that we have in life, the stories that we probably all have. And so I've got some questions to warm us up into this question of how do we care well for one another, for other people? What does that mean? And so let me ask you a question that might probably sound fairly familiar from something I asked you 3 weeks ago. Got the question we can bring up on the overhead here. Generally speaking, who is it easiest to care for? Who is it easiest for you to care for in your life? Your spouse, your family? Someone that loves you back, right? Kind of that reciprocal nature. Yep. Who else is it easy to help? Friends? Your kids, your grandkids. I tell you what, your kids and grandkids can do really stupid things, can't they? And like, we would never extend ourselves in the way that we do when our kids, but we do, because we love them, right? Who else? Anybody else that we easy to help? A man with a gun. Yeah, you. There's some pressure there, isn't there? Yeah, always help the man with the gun. And if at all possible, avoid that scenario. Right, Rich? Yeah, we want to avoid that scenario. Okay. Very good. Okay, well, let's talk about the next question here. What's the next question? What is it about other people that makes it hard to care? What is it about other people? Yeah, Bobby? Some people will use you, right? And so you kind of help them, and then, you know what we call that? We call that kind of sometimes dependency. They'll become dependent upon your help, and they will, what we would say, kind of overextend themselves. So dependency is just a hard reality that we find out about. What else? What makes it hard to care about other people?
If they're just negative,
yeah, then you just, it's like, blah, like, slow that train down, yeah. Yep, what else? If you're afraid of them? Yeah, they have a gun, right? Once again, we're back to that again. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing that if you've been to Springfield or Columbia or many of those places, the homeless population is, and that can be, some people do really well with that. Some of us don't. Somebody walks up and they just look really different. It's kind of scary. And so we may not desire to help them. I heard some things over here. Yeah. If they're self-centered, yeah, if they're really selfish and it's all about them, it's hard to help. Pardon me? If they're your enemy, if you really take a little joy in the fact that they're kind of suffering. And some of that is like, have you guys ever had the I told you so feeling? It's like the fact that we're having this conversation, like I told you we'd be having this conversation. It's hard to help those people sometimes. Yeah. Their priorities are different than what you would hope for. Their values might be different than yours and what you hope to. It's hard to help that in that scenario. Yeah. I hope you all notice I keep walking further and further back. Eventually, I'm going to get to the back of the room. You all that are hiding back here, hi. Last question. Last question is, what things happen in... Yeah, there we go. Thank you. What things happen in our lives that make it hard for us to care? What things happen in our lives? Yes. We've been hurt. And it might even be the similar scenario, right? That we've been hurt in before. And there's a little part of us that says, I'm not doing this again. Like, I've been down this road before. Not doing it again. Yeah. What else? You've been taken advantage of. And sometimes, you know, it's hard is sometimes we might be in the same scenario, sometimes we're not, but it just reeks of it. And so because we've been taken advantage of before, we're not, and they're the, yeah, and so that can happen to us. Yeah, Bobby? Pain in the heart. Pain in the heart, yeah. You got pain in your life, and you're kind of suffering. You know, here's my observation. Sometimes when we have really hard stuff going on in our lives, we are self-focused because we're trying to get through it. I don't know how you change that scenario. That's just, I think that is the reality of life. There are going to be times in your life where you're going to be self-focused because you're hurt and you're just trying to get through it. Yeah. Anything else that goes on in our lives that makes it hard for us to care? Yeah, we just get hopelessness. It's kind of settled in. And it's hard to help. And sometimes when we experience that hopelessness too, it's also about who am I? Who am I to help? Who am I to, you know, who really cares? And so we struggle with those different things. Yes, those are all good. And sometimes we get angry, right? And we're just angry at the world. So we're not going to help. So good, thank you. Good conversation. So this brings us to the Good Samaritan story. The Good Samaritan story is such, we should probably share it every year. I think this is a principal teaching of Jesus Christ. It's a parable. It's not meant to be taken literal. It's a story that teaches us something. It's about a man that gets beat up and robbed right? He's just on his way from point A to point B, and he gets beaten almost to the point of death. And this is the problem with us as people. It is the problem that exists in the world, that there are always going to be people who are at a point of desperation in their lives. They think they're out of options, and so they're going to hurt other people to get what they want. And we can find ourselves in that own scenario, maybe not as hard as like beating somebody up, but we can be in a type of place of life where we're very much at a place of desperation, and we're just going to do whatever we need to do, maybe short of beating somebody up, right? It just seems like the only solution you have left. And so that's where these robbers were, I'm guessing. So they beat this guy up. There's a priest and a Levite. They walk by. They're the spiritual people in this. They're the people that we really would expect better from, but better is not what happens, right? Both of these folks are of the Jewish faith, and one is more of a pastor-type scenario. One's more of a, you know, teacher-type scenario. And so the man's laying there. He's beat up. He's bloodied. They not only just walk by him. The scripture says they actually... they move by on the other side of the road. They move clear to the other side of the road to avoid any kind of contact or conversation. And I've done that. Like it's kind of funny. We joked about, I'll talk more about Serve Day yesterday, but the people that did kind of reject us, that did not want to talk to us or interact with us, and I can say that I've been one of those people. Like when there are people blocking my way into the grocery store, I've sometimes just been like, "Yep, no thanks." So I can kind of get that. Why the priest and the Levite? Why did they do this? Well, because they had a Jewish people practice kosher beliefs, and if you're a priest or a Levite, if you touched a dead body, you would become unclean. And if you were unclean, there was an amount of time that you had to go through before you could minister again in the temple to other people in other ways. And so if they helped this man and he did die, which he looked close to doing, they would be unclean, right? And so instead of risking that, they moved to the other side of the road to avoid that type of scenario, right? So it is this Samaritan that comes by that helps this man. Who's a Samaritan? A Samaritan is somebody from Samaria, the northern kingdom of Israel. It was once a part of Israel. Assyria came in, destroyed the northern kingdom, took the aristocracy, the high-to-do people, killed some of them, took them to other places, enslaved them, left the lower class Jewish Israelite people, brought in all the people from other kingdoms they had conquered, brought them in, intermarried with them. So now at Jesus' time, this is generations and generations later, you have people that have no particular race anymore. They're mixed race people, and therefore they have mixed religious identity. And so there are parts of the Jewish faith they still hold on to, but not temple worship, things like that. And so what happens is you eventually get this sour relationship between the Jewish Israelite people and the Samaritans because they remind them of a past that they're ashamed of. And they're just a different kind of people. And so, friends, the fact that this story is called the parable of the Good Samaritan would have caught your attention if you were a Jewish person, because all Jewish people know there's just no such thing as a good Samaritan. No such thing. And so this Samaritan, he helps the man who was beat up and left for dead, and he goes out of his way a great deal to help him. He carries him, he wounds him, he binds his wounds, he gets him to a hotel, he pays in advance for this man to be able to stay at the hotel. He does all these, once again, really good things that everybody who's Jewish knows Samaritans don't do and would never do for a Jewish person. How can this be, right? It is hard to care about people if you've never made it a priority. And if it's not a priority, it's hard. kind of like the priest and the Levite in this scenario. They had many, I can assure you, they had many good, important things to do. Many good, important things to do. Friends, let me ask you a question. What are the good, important things that we prioritize in our lives as Christian people? Over caring. Loving somebody maybe more than somebody else. Yeah, what else? Duty? Yeah, we might lift up duty as of greater importance than caring for somebody else, which is what, I mean, that's exactly what they were doing, right? They had a duty that they were upholding. Taking care of your family, that may just be a priority that you may not be able to care for anybody else outside of that scenario. It's a good thing. Anything else? You know, it's kind of funny. I'm your pastor. I want you in church. I want you here on Sunday. You might have had somebody who asked for help on a Sunday morning. You said, I'm sorry, that's church day. Right? And so, I mean, you would expect me to do that and to pat you on the back and to say, well, I'm glad that they understood that this is... So, but that might be something for us as Christians where we would prioritize being here in this place, maybe above caring for other people. Which, I mean, sounds like the right thing to do, doesn't it? I mean, I think it's important. I also think it's hard to care about people if you haven't tended to the hurtful things you've experienced in life. This is the second thing I want to lift up. I got an image. Can we see the image? It's of a garden. Friends, your soul is like a garden. Your soul is like a garden. Friends, there are good things that have been planted there, fruits and vegetables and flowers. You love God. You've grown up in the church. You have good family. You have good friends. These are all good things that come about in your garden. But you know what? There are bad things that come up in your garden too, aren't there? There are challenging things. There are weeds. There are just things that don't belong. I've got ivy in some of my gosh, that stuff goes everywhere. And I just got to, it'll kill other stuff if I don't rip it out. So I got to rip out the ivy. Friends, in life we've gotten ripped off. We've been hurt. We've been divorced. Why wasn't anybody there for me when I got divorced, right? Not me personally, but maybe for you. It's like this happened, and why wasn't anybody there for me? Or you get fired, or you get abandoned, or sick, or harmed, or lost in life, or broke, or filled with absolute grief. And there's that grief in your life that kind of hinders all things. Friends, caring well for others is both a science and an art. It's a science and an art. And if you cultivate the garden of your soul well, if you pay attention to these things that are showing up in your life, if you weed it and you prune it and you water it and you take care of that stuff, it means you're dealing with the hurt and you're dealing with the frustrations and you're just dealing with those things. And I think if you do this, then you're going to yield great fruit in your garden, in your life. And so many people, just not only you, but so many other people will benefit from that fruit that is in your life if you tend to those things, right? If you have thought, I just don't care anymore, I just don't care anymore, then I need to ask you as your pastor, what's wrong? What's wrong that you don't care anymore? What is it in your life that's kind of unresolved? And it's you're in a season right now. What priorities, like the religious leaders, where have you not prioritized? Where have you just chosen not to? Isn't a garden a precious thing? If you tend it well, if you take care of it, it'll feed many. It will. This is the great thing about doing an outline, you know, moving away from the manuscript, because I'm right now like, yeah, I think I'm just going to skip all that. Just going to skip all that. I'll go to serve day. I want to talk about serve day just for a minute. I've got some pictures. I want to show you some pictures of serve day. Can you bring up those pictures of serve day? Great job yesterday with serve day. I don't have everybody's pictures. I apologize. I got some pictures of us outside of stores. Next picture, there we are. There's some more folks kind of helping out, collecting canned goods. I think we got maybe one more set of pictures. Nope, that's it. All right, well, as you can see, I took a lot of pictures. Thank you to everybody who showed up and helped for Serve Day, for Jenny Bounds, Sandra Huft, who was there and put all that together and helped on game day make those things happen. And so I just want to kind of end with this question. I just want to end with how, when we care about other people, we make a decision to serve them. That we're going to, and I think that's what we see in Jesus. Jesus cared about people, therefore he served people. He says, you should be my disciples. I want you to be my disciples. And so I think Jesus challenges us to, if we care well, then we serve well, which is what we were trying to do on Serve Day, which was to serve well. And so I want to challenge you today in who you are to serve well. Serve community well, serve neighbor well. And friends, we learn some things along the ways and we make some changes. We have grief in our lives. We have to deal with that. But ultimately, the call of Christ to us is to serve well. So tend to your garden. Pay attention to your priorities and what you're prioritizing over other things. And I think if you do these things, if you do those two things, you can serve Jesus well. And you can serve as Jesus served. Now, if you ignore the work that needs to be done in your garden, the hurt, the frustration, the anger, the disappointment, if you pay no attention to priorities and your priorities, you just choose to shut that down. Like, I'm just doing what's fun. I'm just doing what I, you know, if you ignore these other balance of priorities in your life, then you will, without even really realizing it, you will walk on the other side of the road, won't you? Someday you will just find yourself naturally on the other side of the road, avoiding an opportunity and a person that needs care. We've all done it. Okay? All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for opportunities to care. Lord, there's I know that in the sanctuary this morning there's some great brokenness and some hurt and some fear and some unresolved things. Holy Spirit, we need your help with these things. Would you enter into our lives? Would you enter into the lives of my brothers and sisters this morning? That they might have new energy and vigor and focus for the unresolved things in life that keeps us from caring. Holy Spirit, continue that good work. Would you convict us? If we have not prioritized caring, Lord, speak to us in this time. Invigorate us to once again reorganize our priorities. Thank you for all these folks, for the good that they do, for the gracious people they are. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn.